discovered in my own personal life that a dirty word for many people is the word thank you. It's disappearing from our culture. I know that I'm a grandfather of two grandsons, and one of the things we're trying to teach that oldest grandson is to say the words thank you. Whether it's a little thing or whether it's a big thing, it's so important for my grandson at a young age to say thank you. I mean, just watching that video put a smile on my face because it reminded me that I have eyes. Some people don't. I remember my first heartbreak. Janice King broke my heart. A year and a half of my life, a lot of my money in high school went to Janice King. She got more nice jewelry than Julie. And my mom and dad were always really good about making me write thank you notes and trying to teach me to be thankful. And I remember my dad, which I didn't appreciate at the time. I'm in my room, very discouraged, very down because she broke up with me. And I can remember my dad coming in my room, and my dad's one of the most positive, thankful people I knew in my life. And he said, "Now, Billy, you have legs, some people don't. You have a lot to be thankful for, son." And I didn't appreciate it at the time. I wanted to say, "But I don't have Janice King, you know. And I'm glad I don't. I've got this girl," which Janice King's a good girl. But, you know, just learning to thank God for what I do have. Listen, there are way too many people who complain about their job. And I'm wanting to say, you have a job. Some people would give anything to have a job. They complain about where they live. Listen, I got up this morning because my watch told me to. I have a watch that tells me to get up. I'm thankful that I have a watch like that. I got up and I started a coffee maker and I had coffee and I had that pumpkin bread when I got up this morning and it was good and I had heat this morning and then I took a hot shower. You know, some places you don't even have that option to take a shower at all. And then I just had to walk across the street to go to church. And guess what? I have feet that work and I have lungs that work. I just don't understand how people can be so ungrateful. It just really ticks me off. They can tell you what's wrong with everything, but they can't tell you what's right. Listen, you're here. You have a great church. You've got electricity. You've got comfort. You've got an elevator. We may not have anything but an elevator, but we got an elevator, and you go to any floor you want to. And you know, science has shown that if you're thankful, It's a proven fact. If you practice being thankful, you're going to be happier. It strengthens your immune system to be thankful. It gives you a sense of connectedness. When you're in a group like we were in our life group before we came in here and we were talking about our community. And you know, when you're thankful for your community and you're thankful for the people in your group, you just feel more connected. Ungratefulness doesn't make you feel connected. When you're thankful, it increases the endorphins, the serotonins, and the dopamine levels in your body. Just by being grateful, it gives you a better ability to endure pain. There was a guy named David Hyde in my church in Garland, and David had throat cancer. It's not a pleasant way to live and die. And I remember going in one time and I said, "David, you're never ever griping about or complaining about anything, even though I know you're in pain." And he looked at me, he taught me something. He said, "Bill, you know what? I'm thankful because it gives me one more day with my wife and kids." Instead of being in pain, he's thankful because he had one more day with Betty Hyde. It gives you the ability to have a heart that works better. It gives you the ability to sleep better. And the scripture gives us more than one situation. It says in Philippians 2:4, do everything without complaining and arguing. Complaining is not a spiritual gift. It's not. As a matter of fact, in Jude 1:16, it says this. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their own desires. God never speaks in a positive way about complainers, about those people who grumble. A grumbler is a person who's just always going, blum, 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 blum. And it goes against what Scripture teaches. And this is one of the cool things as I was studying this week that I want to leave with you. And I hope that when you leave this place, you leave with a smile on your face and you... And let me tell you, if you're a teenager or an employee or work for someone, if you start being extra thankful, you will blow people away. I would tell every teenager, hey, you want to get ahead in life? Just start thanking adults. Because it's such a rare thing. So let's look on the outline. Number one, develop a thankful lifestyle. If I could tell you as a believer anything, that the scripture says being thankful is being spiritual. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. Now, he didn't say, be thankful for everything that happens to you. If someone steals something for you, he didn't say be thankful about that, but here's what he's saying. You can be thankful that even if they steal from you, God's still in control and he's still going to take care of you. He didn't say it's something great when you have a flat tire, but you can be grateful that that's not the worst thing that you can have in this world. And he says, be thankful in all circumstances. And then he says, this is God's will for you. I'd like to just slap some people and say, just be thankful. Say something nice. Be grateful to God for something. We don't need any more grumblers and complainers. Turn off the news. That's the most unhappy place I've ever seen. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Part of being a Christ follower is being thankful. It's actually a sign of spiritual maturity when a person says thank you. It does something not only for the person who says thank you, it does something to the person who hears it. It's magical, I'm telling you. When people say thank you to people, it's magical. Well, in Ephesians 5:20, it's not just one verse, but we're told all through the New Testament, we are to be thankful. And in Ephesians 5:20, he says this. And give thanks for everything to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And give thanks for everything. Did you thank him for your coffee? Or your pumpkin bread that he provided for you this morning? If you were here early, Julie, we had a lot of pumpkin. And she said, well, I'm going to make pumpkin bread. Are you thankful for a piece of bread? It was my breakfast. Are you thankful for that chair you're sitting in? Sure is better than the pew you used to sit in. Are you thankful for the person to your left or to your right? You see, in Ephesians 5:20, it says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2. See, people think they can be spiritual by knowing the Bible, but you can know the Bible and not be spiritual, because look what it says in Colossians 2:7. I love this. It says, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And look what it says. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Here's what he's saying. You get drilled in. You get focused in on Jesus Christ. You develop a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, and you can't help but be thankful. It's a spiritual thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says it this way. He says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you were called to live in peace." And here's part I love. He says, "And always be thankful." Now, I thought about it. I complained about the elevator. But I can go back and say, but I'm thankful I have an elevator to complain about. And I'm thankful God's given you the money to pay for it. I mean, seriously. We could have no way. Can you imagine getting people to all three floors without an elevator? What a blessing. That's the claim to fame. We got some people visiting from Louisiana. The claim to fame, First Baptist Church has the only elevator in Montgomery County. Isn't that right? Man, we stand by that $4,600 honor. But I'm thankful. You see, we need to develop this attitude of being thankful. Because when we develop a lifestyle of being thank you, of saying thank you and being thankful, I promise you, you just try it today. Start thanking everybody you get a chance. It puts a smile on their face. If you go out to eat after lunch, tell the waitress thank you. Developing a lifestyle of thankfulness is spiritual. But here's the other thing I think that's so cool. And we forget this. Be thankful when you worship. See, a lot of times we think we come to church to sing a few songs, to hear sermon and all that kind of stuff. No, we come to church to worship Him, to be thankful for Him. As a matter of fact, just look at Psalm 100. It is a beautiful hymn of worship. And it just has thank you all through it. And as the worshipers would enter to worship God, this is one of the Psalms that describe that experience. He says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth." I know that's un-Baptist, but every once in a while, we should be shouting to God because He's worthy of our shouts. Worship the Lord with gladness. Don't come in here without gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Then He says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." Why? For the Lord is good. Hopefully you're here this morning and you know that God is good. Regardless of what's going on in your life that is not good, the one thing you ought to be happy about is God is good. His unfailing love, and that's my part, His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Man, we're not here just to sing a couple of songs and call it a day. No, we're here to worship a God who is good. A God who loves us even when we're not worth loving. We are here and we have a God that is faithful. And really sometimes the sin that we have is the sin of not being grateful and not being thankful for the God that we have. Look at Psalm 106 verse 1. Again, he says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." When you walk into church, into His presence, the first thing you need to be reminded of is how good He is. And how much He loves you. And how much He loves you when you're not doing right. It's just amazing to me that we miss it. Look at 107 verse 1. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." You know, you can come in here having the worst day and worship the best God, the only God, the God who is good and loving. But so many times we're like, "Oh, I got to go to church. I don't want to go to worship service. You know, that preacher will have 3 or 4 points and he's going to get on. No, no, you ought to be going, gosh, we have a good God. Our pastor may not be very good, but we got a good God. We got a God that forgives. Be thankful when you come. Third thing, be thankful for all he has done. Man, to develop this lifestyle, you got to really believe it. And I believe that you ought to practice it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And then he says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Every morning when I get up and I have my time with God, I spend a significant part of my time thanking God. I thank him for a different body part that works. As I've got to be 63, I found that some parts don't work as well, like my hearing is. But you know what? My hearing's bad, Julie, but I can hear some. I could be completely deaf. I'm thankful that I have feet that work. I enjoy food. I'm very thankful for that. I enjoy you guys. Coming to church is a good thing. I'm thankful for that. I thank God all the time for First Baptist Mount Ida. I thank God for a house to live in, for food on the table. I mean, when I have my little time every morning, I go through my entire family, my grandkids, and I just say thank you. And then I thank him for the problems that I have, because of not the problems, but for what I'll learn from them. I mean, I don't want to miss anything and be ungrateful for God. When was the last time you thanked God for the people in your life? When was the last time you thanked God for that person who always knows when to say an encouraging word? Some of y'all are that way. Miss Lynn, I have a bunch of your little things that you gave me. And you know what I did with them? I put them in my card from my daughter that told me I was a good dad. You know, on a good day, you get a good dad thing. And so I put your little stuff in there. I didn't throw it away. I put it in my drawer. And when I'm not feeling like a good pastor or a good dad, I go get it out and look at it and say, well, Lynn, on such and such date, thought so. Listen, this church can change overnight, and you're a good church just by being grateful, saying thank you. And I don't say it enough, but thank you. Thank you to everybody that played in the music. Thank you to everybody that came and showed up. I mean, you know, we're blessed. So be thankful. And the way I do that is I have a journal. And every single day when I sit down and have my time in God's Word and pray about my needs, I spend a significant part of that time thanking God for people, possessions, physical ability, family, friends, spiritual. Be thankful for all he's done. Fourth thing, be thankful for people. Paul was very thankful for the people that he had in his churches. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says this. He says, for I'm not, it's not verse 16. It is verse 8. In verse 8 of Romans chapter 1, he says, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gift he has given you now that you belong to Jesus Christ. And then you have in Philippians chapter 1, he really liked the Philippians and he was very thankful for them. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard until now. Paul was grateful for people. And as the church, As the church, you need to be grateful for every single person in this room. And if you don't know enough to be grateful for, you need to get to know them. I look at Blanche over here. Blanche, I'm talking about you. And every time I see, and Blanche always sits right over there by herself. That's her area. But you know, every time I see Blanche, I'm very thankful because she reminds me of my grandmother who was named Blanche. I can't say her name without going back to my grandmother Ashburn. I mean, be thankful, people. We are blessed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, once again, Paul says in verse 2, he says, verse 3, he says, every time I think of you, that's Philippians. Sometimes technology doesn't mind my hand. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 says, we always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work and your loving deeds and the enduring hope that you have because of our Lord Jesus. Be thankful. Be thankful. And then the last one, this is kind of a sad story, but I close with this. Be thankful with your words. One of the things studies are showing right now is that people are thankful, but they don't express it. And they think, well, and here's a perfect example. If you go to Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, I love this story of Jesus and a group of people who were called lepers. Their life was basically a life of just isolation. They had to leave their families. They had a lot to not be grateful for. It basically, if you were considered a leper, you were considered hopeless. And you basically lived your life with a bunch of other lepers and died a slow, painful death. But look at this story. And don't miss the important part of it. It says, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. In other words, when you had leprosy, you were isolated from everybody else and you weren't allowed to get close to them. So these 10 men are seeing Jesus and they're crying out to Jesus. Look what as he entered the village, the 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, to be declared clean in that day, you had to go to the priest, and the priest would declare that you were defiled and put you in a leprosy camp. But to be clean, you had to have the priest confirm that you were clean. Jesus didn't have the guys come to him. He said, hey, just go to the priest, show yourselves to the priest. Now, look at the miracle. Here's the miracle. Don't miss it. As they went. In other words, as they're obeying him and going to the priest, they were healed of their leprosy. It wasn't even in church. They were going to show themselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed of their leprosy. But look at verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And then I love the way the scripture kind of gets a gig at the Jewish people. This man was a Samaritan. The implication is the other 9 were Jewish people who were religious people who should have known better. But the only one that came back, the only one that was grateful was the Samaritan. And it says that he came back and Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, most scholars that I read say that the other nine were healed of leprosy, but their spiritual problem wasn't healed. And there was only one that was healed, and it was the one that came back and came to the master, and he was forgiven, and Jesus said, your faith has healed you. But here's what I want you to not miss. Were those other nine thankful for being healed from their leprosy? That's a question. Those other nine, were they thankful? Yeah. But were they thankful the way we should be? No. They didn't express it. They didn't go back. See, here's what happens. A lot of us here this morning have people in our lives that we're very thankful for, but we've never told them. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a teacher you had. There are many of us who are thankful, but we've never expressed it. One of the most powerful things you can do is to go and simply say, thank you for this. Listen, fuel on the fire in my life is to hear someone say thank you. It's a little thing. It's funny. On Monday night during our men's fellowship, I asked Dave about coming to our church, and Dave goes, well, Bill, I could understand you. Well, I don't know what that means, if Dave couldn't understand a lot of other people, but he doesn't know. That is for me, when someone says I could understand you, that is a compliment. There's nothing worse than for someone to come and say, hey, Bill, that thing on thankfulness, I didn't get it. I mean, but it was that he expressed it to me. Now, I'm not looking for praise like that. I want you to understand, that's not my point. But every one of you have someone in your life that you're thankful for, but you've never told them. Maybe you need to write them. Maybe you need to email them. Maybe you need to text them. Because I guarantee you, there is power in those two words, thank you. Oh, how I would love to have an opportunity to tell my mom and dad thank you. Again. Thank you. Thank you for being a good church. And my challenge to you is that the word thank you won't be a negative word, a dirty word. It'll be a good word. As a matter of fact, if you're a complainer and if you're not content, if you're not happy, maybe the best thing you can do is go sit on a rock today and count your blessings. Because you're not being grateful for what God has given you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our country. Oh, it's got problems, but gosh, I'm grateful for my country. I'm thankful for my community. I'm thankful for my state. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my God. I'm thankful for just life. I'm glad, Lord, I feel well enough to get up and worship you and serve you. And gosh, I'm just blessed. I pray for these people this morning that when they leave, they would develop a lifestyle of just being thankful. And that they would just not feel thankful, but tell people thank you. And Father, I pray for teenagers and children that we would raise them to use the magic words, thank you. Because Father, it'll get them a good ways in life. Help us to practice this simple but powerful two words, thank you. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.